This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, where a spirit board conversation sparked our spiritual evolution. I'm Shale.
And I'm Cheyenne. And each week, we explore a world where there is much more than meets the eye. So pour yourself a drink and join us as we cheers to a witchin' good time.
Good morning, Cheyenne.
Good morning, Shale.
Good morning, class.
Cheyenne is having an existential crisis first thing this morning after staying up all night reading Reddit stories about aliens that she's going to share with me. And clearly they've done a number on her.
It's an interesting world. The more I learn about aliens, the less I feel like I know about aliens.
It's not a fun place to be. That's a kind of a scary place to be, I'll admit.
There are so many different kinds, I guess, different species.
Yeah. Why does that make me feel so uncomfortable?
Because we have built this cute little bubble. Cute is the wrong word. Our world is clearly not cute.
It's a little rough in this bubble at times, for sure. It's
a hardcore dumpster fire of a bubble, but we have somehow managed to gaslight enough of the general public. This is a great way to start this, into thinking that like we are the center of our universe, right?
Totally.
That there could not possibly be beings more intelligent than us.
Right.
Spoiler alert. I mean, I guess it's not a spoiler. We don't know for sure. Or the people who know for sure get Men in Blacked. So
right.
It's fine. If you have alien abduction stories, please send them to me. I would love
send Cheyenne fully over the edge.
I would love to hear them. Well, because, and what's so interesting, so today we're talking about alien abductions. And alien abductions tend to all have like really similar like benchmarks of things like memory loss is a big one, right?
Right.
Or like technologies that like knock you out, or being like, wow, it took us 3 hours to drive down this road when it normally takes us 10 minutes.
Right. Like they're cliche, but they're cliche because
everyone has these consistent things. And so it's so hard when it's, I don't know. We'll get into it. Before we get into it, Shale, what are you drinking?
Well, I wanted something cozy because I figured this episode would be a little unhinged. Which I feel like my predictions have been correct so far. I am having a nice little cacao elixir. It has a base of burdock root, which I have just been in a love affair with for like 7 months now. And it's very nourishing. And it also has eleuthero root. I don't know if I ever say that correctly.
But I like it. I know I like it.
It's so good. It's like a root that comes from Siberia, I believe. And it's an adaptogen. And like, I guess cosmonauts, which is also, I didn't even make that connection until right this second. But cosmonauts would use it as a way to like, because it has such good adaptive properties to like stress and like new environments, and also like things like muscle recovery if you're training a lot. So cosmonauts in Russia used it quite a bit to prepare to go to space and drink it while in space. And then also like Russian athletes use it. So I feel like it's just, I don't know, relevant. And then it has some honey, and I topped it with some frothed almond milk this morning. So it's just a nice little hug in a cup. It's going to get us through this episode. And honestly, I don't know what happened, but like, I wish I could show this. The little bubbles have like that gleam that makes them look kind of rainbowy. I wonder if I forgot to like rinse the soap out of this completely. I don't taste it, but it looks pretty.
Okay. So I just had this. I had this dumb question of like, why are Russians called cosmonauts and not astronauts? So I Googled it.
Oh, isn't it literally just to be different from an astronaut?
sorry, that was uncalled for. Yes, astronauts and cosmonauts are trained personnel who travel in space. Astronaut refers to an American or Western European space traveler, and cosmonaut refers to a Soviet or Russian space traveler. China calls its space travelers taikonauts.
Ooh, which taikonauts probably, sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, probably also is just another word for space. Because cosmos in Russian is space.
So. Yeah. Also, like, if you think about the times when, like, astronauts and cosmonauts and everything became a thing, it was space race times, right? So, like, no one wants to be the same thing.
They're like, fuck you.
We're going to space first.
I mean, to give Russia some credit, I think the name cosmonaut is cooler than astronaut.
I kind of do, too, honestly. And didn't they technically, they made it to space first, right? With Sputnik?
Yes.
So I feel like they deserve to call themselves whatever they want in that case.
Sure.
We'll give it to them.
we'll graciously concede this point.
Anyway, what are you drinking?
Amazing. I'm just drinking straight up coffee, just dark roast coffee with cream. It's the first one I've had today, so
I need
to catch up. It's actually a lighter roast. It's not an espresso roast. It's pretty acidic. I need to get coffee. I need new beans. We're burning through the extras. Okay, so obviously we're drawing from our Mystic Martian Oracle today.
I don't know, like, thinking about words like cosmonaut, I love the word Martian. It's just a fun word.
It is really cute. Well, and see, okay, but this is like the thing about aliens and stuff too, right? Like science fiction obviously has a hand in this, but like the term Martian is kind of cute. Like, we've like cutesified them.
Yeah. Like, I think about the little green guys,
but those guys allegedly are like not the ones you want to vibe with.
Oh, so like Marvin the Martian is a lie.
He is just going to do some weird medical stuff to you.
Oh no. And like, I'll never watch it the same way again.
Drain your blood.
Oh my God.
It's fine.
I'm so scared for this.
Okay, episode. To be fair, most of these episodes are, this is the thing, like, people who have encounter experiences that they remember tend to be silenced fairly quickly. Well, that's fucking terrifying.
Okay, but like, I still haven't fully recovered from the Kentucky Goblin episode, and that was how long ago?
Like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, and I didn't realize we were talking abductions today. I just thought we were talking aliens in general. So I don't think I've emotionally prepared myself for what I'm about to hear.
It's like, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I feel like abduction stories are almost less creepy than haunting stories in that they tend to have fewer details.
I think that's what makes them more scary to me.
It's like the less, yeah, we'll get into it.
Like, what is it that I don't know?
Yeah, a lot. And unfortunately, the card we've drawn today.
The grays, are you fucking kidding me?
The tall ones, which is even worse than the tiny ones.
I didn't know there was separate species of grays.
Yeah, so there are big grays and there are little grays. And we unfortunately-
getting so close to the camera right now.
Well, look at it. There's like a lady on a table in like a space MRI machine behind him. He's like this big, scary, wrinkly, gray alien looking dude. Who's standing in like a gray uniformy outfit. There are tanks with human bodies connected to probey things behind him. And the three words that represent the grays are utilitarian, organized, and intimidating. We love military aliens.
That's a vibe.
Our favorite. Just kidding. We do love you, military aliens. Thank you for your service. Please don't abduct me. Okay, so the grays, tall, specifically. Most agree the tall grays come from the Zeta Reticuli star system in the Orion constellation, though some have made suggestions that they come from the Andromedon galaxy, which is even further away. Others even speculate that they could be a future evolution of the human race returning here, or an alien race from the future that has traveled back in time. Sidebar. I do believe most aliens are traveling through time. They are not traveling through space.
Holy fuck, this is like such a... I don't think we should record episodes like this at 9 a.m.
has to be at 9 a.m. so that I can like go roller skate in the sunshine and pretend like none of this happened afterwards.
My brain is like not yet awake and functioning enough to like try to wrap my mind around all of this.
Yes, amazing. Okay, so they're somewhat similar in appearance to the short gray, which is like the Kentucky goblins.
Ew.
Only much taller. And some have a slightly more noticeable nose, but not
when
really.
When we say much taller, how tall are we talking?
We're talking like 7 feet tall.
Gross. Like I was hoping you'd say like 5'9".
No, like 7 feet. The short grays are like 3 to 4 feet, and the tall grays are...
So that's what I'm saying, though. If you have short ones that are only 3 feet, 5'9" would be tall to them, and that would be completely acceptable.
Yeah, no, they are taller than the average human.
Lovely.
So, yeah, when an alien tells you he's 6'3", believe him. They are somewhat similar in appearance to the short gray, only much taller, noticeable nose. Edit that out, me. The tall grays are lanky with elongated spindly limbs and an ectomorphic body. They can stand anywhere from 6 to 8 feet in height. Like the short grays, some have 4 fingers on each hand. Others have 3. They are not overly strong and have awkward bodily movements. Like their cousins, they too have no reproductive organs.
I hate all of this.
The tall grays have also been associated with the abduction phenomenon. I'm really concerned that I was abducted last night. Now that this is the card that we've drawn today.
Are you getting flashbacks?
Are usually described as hostile, bitter, and cold. They largely work under Alpha Draconian dominance and mind control, and many are now clones. Some blamed the tall grays for the unexplained cattle mutilation phenomena. Excuse me. Some tall grays are positioned in scientific MILAB genetic laboratories. Do you know what that stands for? MILAB? Is that like a real government acronym?
It probably is. The government loves their acronyms, so.
They sure do. Multispectral Imagery Lab. No, my lab. A deceitful military operation performed to convince the targets of the operation that they have had an encounter with extraterrestrial beings. Oh, it's a deep fake. Oh, so they might be working with our government. Ew.
Oh my God. It just keeps getting worse.
Ew, that's even worse. Some tall grays are positioned in scientific MILAB genetic laboratories and secret military negotiation departments. So they're manufacturing abductions. They are telepathic, psychic, and have an intimidating presence. The tall grays operate and function in a utility, hive mind, Borg-like culture where individual thought is near non-existent.
Ew.
Ew. Card meaning, order, utilitarian, organized, rigid, uniformity, obedience, militant, intimidating, structure, not approachable.
So wait, how does this work as an oracle card?
Great question. To be this oracle deck does not actually give you any sort of like oracle insights.
Militant for the rest of the week.
It's really funny that they call it an oracle deck, but yeah, I guess so. We're talking about, okay, you know what, actually, here, I'm gonna interpret this card. Spoiler alert, I've started writing a novel, and today is a writing day. Today is a research writing day, and
ooh, today's an herb school day too. It makes sense.
I know, we're doing,
I see where you're going with this,
but I feel like one of our words for 2024, and this comes to me from a friend on Bookstagram who's also in our book coven. I stole it from her, but her word for 2024 is discipline.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's like, that is the word. Like, it is about like self-discipline. It is about knowing when to say no to things. It is about knowing when to push through and get your shit done.
Yep.
The tall grays are a disciplined species of not real aliens because they're clones, which is also why like the time travel future thing is such an interesting tie in alien encounter stuff.
Also, question to back up a little bit, why would they want to fake alien abductions? Like, why would they want to manufacture that? What do they get out of it
when they can control This is going to get real conspiracy.
This is obviously like a tinfoil hat episode.
Yeah, like when they are controlling the narrative, they can also control the like the plot holes that make people not believe.
Okay.
So if they're like manufacturing people who they already, basically what's probably happening, because repeat abductions is a fairly common phenomena. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. If they are working in cahoots with government agencies, I love that we're recording this over the internet. Who's listening to us today?
I'm like, I feel like I should be like prepared.
We're going to get Men in Black tomorrow.
So, for sure. On their way.
They're just coming. They're just, it's fine. They're outside.
Good thing this episode's rolling out this week. So if anything happens to Cheyenne or I, you know what
happens.
Yeah,
you know where we went. So I think it's that. I think if they're controlling the narrative and they can continue affecting people who have already had this experience, the human mind can only handle so much trauma, right?
Right.
So I think it's part of like, it's like witness intimidation, but aliens. But backwards.
You know? But that, I guess that makes sense though, because when you think about like the typical abduction story, like it's always from people that like the society wants to be like, oh, they're not believable. You know, mm-hmm. like the one random farm out in the middle of nowhere that's isolated, you know, of course they're gonna be having crazy stories.
Yeah.
You don't hear about like Joe Schmo off the street in Chicago being abducted by aliens.
Yeah, on like Sixth Avenue.
Right. Where tons of people would see it.
Yeah.
Except apparently there was aliens in Miami just like chilling in the street coming out of the ocean. I'm not even ready to go into that.
So that's where like the coming out of the ocean piece. We're going to read a couple that are coming out of the ocean.
Okay.
Aliens too, where I'm just like,
are they everywhere?
Well, I'm like, why are we gatekeeping time travel technology?
Because literally.
Like, I feel like we don't have to exist in this plane with as much suffering as we have manufactured for ourselves. If we can all just like get it together. But that's fine. That's a rant for another day. Let's get into it. We have pulled alien abduction stories from Reddit. I've scoured Reddit for you. And we're going to start with one that happens right down the road from Shale in Aurora, Colorado.
You're so kind. Thank you. Thank you for starting with that.
Always. Here it is.
Also, though, like, I feel like Aurora is like this hub of wild things happening there.
Yeah. Aurora is kind of weird. Well, and this is one of those, like, if you are into things like ley lines.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Attention to like that kind of energy. Like Denver's got some weird, funked up stuff happening.
And it's like super close to Red Rocks. Yeah. There's some things going on.
Okay.
Uh oh. So. You're stressing me out. My anxiety is so spiked right now.
It's totally fine. It all started when I was young in the 80s. So this is 80s Aurora, Colorado. So it's even sketchier than it is today. Sketchier in a different way. Now it's like the car theft capital of the United States.
Yeah.
But like then it was like cow pasture.
Yeah. Like
Aurora probably wasn't actually, yeah, like not that built up in the 80s.
Right.
I grew up in a tri-level house in Aurora, Colorado, across the street from my elementary school. One night I was woken up late and noticed the shadow of someone looking in my window and ran into my mom. She brushed it off and told me my window was too high, she's on the second floor, for someone to just be peering in. Told her to go back to bed. So she started to leave her curtains open. I started to leave my curtains open and lay there, not sleeping, staring at my window. Almost every night at the same time, something with large, bright eyes would watch me for 2 hours, and I wouldn't sleep until it left. Then one day, me, my brother, and my friend were walking around my house to go to the backyard, and it was just after lunch. So this is daylight abduction. I happened to look up when we turned the corner and noticed in the sky between my neighbor's large pine tree and the side of my house what looked like a very bright star, which I found odd for middle of day in spring. I asked my brother and our friend what it was, and we were all stumped. Then it started to kind of zigzag around the sky very fast. My father is an airline mechanic and my grandfather was a pilot, so my brother and I were very familiar with airplanes and knew it was going way too fast to be a plane. Then it was right above us. It was the classic UFO shape, a round disc. It covered both mine and my neighbor's homes. Lots of lights around the outside of the discs and a large white light in the center. As soon as I opened my mouth to ask what it was gone and the sun was setting. It was golden.
What? So like hours just went by?
Hours. She was like, it was golden hours, as photographers call it. I didn't understand what happened or why it was suddenly hours later and sunset. We started to discuss it, and my friend also has no memory of what happened in the period of missing time. My brother, however, did not want to talk about it and kept trying to get us to drop it. I think he remembers more than we did, but to this day, he still gets angry if I or my friend bring it up and refuses to talk about it. I just want to know what happened to me. I continued to have night watchers until we moved to a new state when I was 12.
Night watchers. Ugh, gross. Dude, I could sit here and listen to like paranormal haunting stories all day, but like these freak me out. Like I got the eyes watering and like I want to hide. Like I hate it.
So, well, because so much of it is like omniscient.
Yeah.
Like hive mind thought process that takes over you too, where it's just like, what happened?
Ew.
So that's one.
Off to a great start.
That's one of them. Okay. This one is titled, When the Aliens Crashed the Sleepover.
Lovely.
It's also very common for abduction phenomenon to be young people. Like,
ew.
Which
I don't
is
like that either.
For like paranormal stuff too, right? Like your young, yeah. I think is you're closer to that plane of existence, like emotionally, like you were, right. You might have some sort of.
We've had like societal memory. Conditioning yet.
Yeah. So like you're more open to this kind of stuff. The other common phenomenon is that people are on psychedelic drugs.
Right. Yeah.
Like lots and lots of alien encounter stories happen when people are on psychedelics. And
which again, you're like closer to the plane at that point.
Closer to the plane. There are a lot of fae stories, but I also am someone who's like, are fae alien? Question mark. Maybe they're all the same. I mean, they're not all the same. They're all different species, but like maybe it's that level of existence, right?
Right. Like are all elementals and cryptids just aliens?
Just aliens. Like, is Bigfoot just an alien? Maybe.
My brain can't wrap around.
Which
all.
Also, you know, I do like to subscribe to the idea that Earth is also potentially already hell. We've all already.
Actually, yeah, I've very much like have thoughts around that theory as well.
And so maybe like the aliens that are here too are like, sorry, dude, you got to do your stint on Earth.
Right. You got some lessons
up.
To learn.
Like, you fuck up in intergalactic court. You have to
become a human.
Service here. So, you know, just things to noodle. So when I was 12, my best friends and I used to sleep on my friend's trampoline in his yard in the summer. Oh, I love sleeping on a trampoline.
Me too.
I probably will never sleep on a trampoline again.
Yeah, but my 30-year-old hips could not handle a trampoline.
But it was the most fun. We would gather our bed stuff and bounce around until we got tired and eventually lay down and go to sleep. Yes, what you were describing is sleeping on a trampoline. One evening, four of us were lying on the trampoline talking when we noticed that there was something floating over the woods nearby. You couldn't see it directly, just that it blocked the stars as it slowly moved. It was a little higher than the treetops and completely silent. We were just kids, so we sat there and watched it. Slowly it drifted until it was directly over top of us. Then suddenly there was this light that I cannot describe. It was more than blindingly bright. It was disorientingly, crippling bright, like it shone down into your body. The next thing I remember, we were all standing inside my friend's house looking out his sliding glass door at the object still hovering in the yard.
Wait, and they just like teleported away. Into the house?
Suddenly they were inside.
Ew.
We were all spooked, but we decided to go back out to the trampoline.
There is not a, no way.
I would never.
Go back out there. Not
we're laying there for a while. And the next thing we know, it comes back and the exact same thing happens. Again, we find ourselves inside looking out the back door. Beyond all reason, We went back outside one more time and it happened again. We finally
decided. My eyes water so bad.
Yeah. Like they stayed inside and slept with the lights on after that. My friends and I lost touch as we grew up, but when I was 18, I heard one of them was in town. I ran into him at a party one night and pulled him to the side to ask him about that day, as it bothered me for some time. His response has shaken me to this day. Oh, I cannot describe his reaction sufficiently. He looked at the ground and said, "I don't want to talk about it." I was kind of surprised by his response, so I didn't know what to say. He got up and walked out of the party, and I just sat there thinking about what could have happened. I tried to find him, but he immediately left. And that was it. I haven't seen him or the others since. But his response was enough to let me know something strange definitely happened that night, and I don't know if I want to remember.
Oh my gosh.
So far in these first two stories, too, the women are not remembering what happened, but the men are. Just worth noticing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just worth noticing. Okay. Like how I woke up this morning, very disoriented.
No.
Okay.
Like she spent too much time on Reddit. I wonder if there's like a certain limit for how much Reddit exposure they'll let you have before they're like, oh, we gotta like erase her memory.
So there, if you are curious, I'll post these in the show notes, but there are a couple of different Reddit threads that we got these stories from. One of them is the Reddit experiencers thread. I think that is the more culturally appropriate term.
I kind of like that.
As opposed to like abductees, it is experiencers.
Yeah.
And then I was on the abduction Reddit as well, which also has like random human kidnapping stories on it. So
no.
You got to sift through some stuff. But the experiencers thread, and then there's a UFO thread, and the UFO thread has a lot of videos and like TikToks, and videos are hard to trust in the world of deepfakes and AI anyway.
Literally, yeah.
But you can waste several hours of your life if you would like to on any of those threads, and I will link all of them below.
In case you want to be Men in Black with us.
In case you want to come with us. Okay, here's a short one. The low-flying triangle. This is also interesting. Ships tend to either be in the dome saucer shape or they are triangles.
The one, I think, so we talked about this on a future episode, like our own personal, like, stories. The one that I saw that, like, shot all over the sky was perfectly square.
Square. Okay. Like a flat, like plane kind of?
Yeah. Like it looked like if you took a sticky note that was bright, like illuminescent neon green and put it in the sky, that moved around like crazy.
This is also why like the time travel theory is like so prevalent in my brain too.
Yeah.
Like if you have the time travel technology, you don't really need other technology in your ship. Like, because you're just pressing a little zappy button and you're zipping, zipping across. Anyway, the low-flying triangle. About 2 years ago, I was in Naples, Florida with my friend. We were on the porch having a smoke around 11 p.m. I was leaning on the railing when I saw what I thought was a plane in the distance turning towards us. It was flying so low that the front lights blinded us. My friend scrambled for his phone, which turned out to be dead. And fearing I would miss it, I ran inside to grab mine. Though the craft was steadily gliding, it was all happening so fast. As the object got closer, we noticed it was a huge black triangle with three circular lights on the bottom. It was so close, just above the trees, right in front of the building, and it was silent. The only thing making any sound was the trees rustling below us. Then it turned on a dime right in front of us and disappeared forever over the tops of the buildings. I wouldn't have believed what I saw if I didn't see it with somebody else. So a lot of them are just that, too.
Right.
I saw this thing and it was weird and somehow none of our technology worked.
Yeah.
This story is called Don't Tell Anyone.
Ew.
Disgusting.
I already don't like it.
This is a story of my father's. It happened in 1982 while my father was stationed at a military base in New Brunswick. One night, my father's best friend and his girlfriend left just after dark to go see Tron at the movie theater.
Ironic.
Great movie. About an hour later, the friend and his girlfriend were back on the base. The car pulled in, and my father immediately noticed it was damaged pretty badly and covered in several different colors of paint. My father asked them what happened and why they had not gone to the movie. They brushed him off and went to bed. A few days later, my father got his friend to tell him what happened. They were driving along a stretch of highway, and they noticed lights coming from over the hill just ahead, where no lights should be because there was nothing around for miles. Just at the base of the hill was a parking lot for a park. A bunch of cars were pulling into the parking lot to investigate the lights, so my father's friend pulled in too. Everyone got out of their cars and were about to start hiking to the top of the hill when a large disc with flashing lights rose above the hill's peak and emitted a loud, strange sound. Several cars got banged up and everyone's panicked to get away, thus the transfer of paint. Amazing. So everyone just like fender bended the shit out of each other trying to get away. My father's friends drove back to the base as fast as possible. A few days later, men in black suits showed up on the base looking for people. They talked to my father's friend and then sent him on his way. My father asked what the men wanted to see him for. The men told my friend that he better say nothing about anything that happened if he wanted to keep his military career.
Whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. Spooky.
It's just spooky. Ugh. This one's gross.
I think, like, I don't know, like, the fact, like, aliens freak me out, right? Like, the whole story about aliens. But the fact that there's so many common stories about the men in black, too, like, mm-hmm. equally terrifies me.
Yeah. Well, and then it is, like, are alien movies, stories, like, are the fictionalized accounts that we see, like, so pervasive in pop culture, particularly in that era when a lot of abductions were happening, like, in the 70s, 80s. Lots of alien stories come out of that time.
Dude, what, like, was going on in the 70s and 80s? Like, that's, like, the abundance of serial killers, too, and, like...
and everyone was just, like, coked out of their minds.
Right, like, just craziness. What's going on, man? Amazing.
But, like, is that not just, like, a great PR campaign, too?
Right.
Like, okay, we're just going to make this part of our, like, cultural zeitgeist, and then we're going to align it with, like, things like fantasy.
Yeah.
And then we're going to tell anyone who experiences any of this in real life that they're crazy.
Right.
And not to talk about it, ever.
I hate it. I hate all of it.
This one is called The Rural Visitor.
Ew.
A lot of these are from the 80s. As a kid back in the 80s, I was spending the night at my aunt and uncle's house, which was out in the sticks in Tennessee. Oh, okay, this one might not be an alien. I was sleeping on the couch and woke up due to a bright light coming through the kitchen window and into the living room. I was looking towards the light, which was white and flickering. After about 10 minutes, I turned my head as it was now keeping me awake. After a few minutes, I turned my head back towards the light and was about to fall asleep on the love seat. I could see a tall, dark figure standing between myself and the light. I was frozen and unable to move or scream. It approached me, reached out, and began tapping on my forehead gently with what felt like a nail or something pointed. This went on for a few minutes until I must have fallen or was put to sleep. Yeah, pretty sure you wouldn't just fall asleep by yourself.
Yeah.
I woke up the next morning to a quiet house. I went into the bathroom and saw a red spot on my forehead. My skin was slightly broken, but there was no blood. The end.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
I don't like that one at all.
Also, can I just say, from, like, a snob writing perspective, that I think if you have an alien story, you should be required to talk to an author about it so that I can get more details about what happened.
Right.
A more narrative storytelling vibe.
I agree. Thanks. Yeah. Can you all Reddit make that happen? Thanks.
Yeah. Can you, like, edit your trauma for me, please? Okay. This one is called Something Helped Us in the Swamp.
Oh, Lord.
This one's actually cute. So this is the difference. So I actually believe like the short grays are, they're kind of like laborers, maybe is a good way to describe them. They're like, they're bottom of the social hierarchy totem pole.
They're the worker bees of the hive.
Yes. And I think they tend to be a little bit nicer to people.
As working class people are.
Yeah. I mean, blue collar, blue collar aliens, get it. Then just get it, you know?
Okay. They're so one of us.
I was 12 at the time, and my family had a camp on the Tangipahoa River. I think that might be how you say it. If I am wrong, I'm sorry.
Is this in like Louisiana?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is
right. Tangipahoa. Okay. The only way you can get to it is by boat. So it's like down the river a little bit. So it was just my uncle, my cousin, and myself, and we were heading back to the boat launch on a Sunday night. Now, the boat we were in didn't have any working lights, so to see where we were going, my uncle would occasionally shoot a flare.
That's oh, so my crazy, gosh.
Anna. Why do you not have a flashlight if your boat doesn't have any lights?
Especially in the swamp.
We quickly ran out of flares, as it is around a two-hour boat ride back to the landing. So I ended up at the front of the boat, holding a regular flare, as we were now on a much narrower stretch of river.
Wow.
To our left in the swamp, two large glowing balls appeared. Then there was another set to the right. I was just trying to keep the flare from burning me, and my little cousin was freaking out. After about 10 minutes of them navigating through the swamp, they formed a triangle above us on the river. It is hard to gauge how far up they were, but it was very visible. They continued to follow us the rest of the journey back to the landing, and as soon as we arrived, they disappeared. This all
happened. They lit the way home?
Yeah, they like just helped them get home. They're like,
okay, all right. I'm picturing like little swamp will-o'-the-wisps.
Oh, cute. I like that.
Yeah.
See, and a lot of them have these paranormal or supernatural overtones. Yeah. Where I'm like, that could have been guides. Like, you could have been just, yeah. But interesting.
Well, I was kind of them. I appreciate a nice alien story amongst all the carnage.
A couple cute ones. Okay. This one is called The Missing Hour.
The ones where you lose track of time, like, freak me out.
Yeah. Yeah, because just, like, what happened?
Yeah.
Driving in the UK from a friend's dinner party. We set off around 10 p.m. for a 15-minute drive home. It was myself, my wife in the front, and my three sons in the back of the car. We were driving near a U.S. Air Force base in the southeast of England along a long, straight piece of road when there was an incredible flash of light that my wife and I noticed, and it woke up our elder son in the back seat, who was about 12 at the time. Something, I have no idea what, flew with absolute silence over our car. I saw it, my wife saw it, and my son in the back, who was woken by the light, saw it. Something flew right over us, so close you could reach out and touch it, and it was big. We got home, discussed it a bit, and concluded the flash was a flare from the Air Force base, and the large object... This is so funny. The large object that flew over us may well have been a Eurasian eagle owl. One had been spotted recently in the area. And it
was like an actual bird?
Like an actual bird.
Oh, BS.
Yeah. One had been spotted in the area and it was promptly forgotten. Fast forward just over a decade, and myself and my son, who was woken by the flash, were talking about this weird event over dinner when my youngest son, who was not awake in the back of the car during the event, remarked that he remembered it happening. He recalled an event that was vastly different from ours, and he had never told anyone this story before and thought it was a dream until we started talking about it. He described how the car was stopped when we saw the flash. We weren't moving, and the low-flying object sat on top of us for a few minutes, then flew off before the car started again.
That's like such a common story too, like where something just like floats on top of you.
Yeah. Apparently, I completely ignored the stop-start and simply continued driving. Now, here's an interesting bit that we had never realized. My wife had made arrangements to call her sister when we arrived home safely. We left at 10 p.m. for a 15-minute drive. and my wife called her sister at 11:45 to say we had arrived home. I have no idea what happened that night, and we were all completely sober. My youngest insists that something very strange happened, and my wife is adamant that we took 90 minutes to do a 15-minute drive home. Her sister backs this up. I may not know what happened, but I am certain that something did.
Okay, two things. First of all, I don't believe that that's an alien story. I believe that was 100% U.S. Air Force doing things.
Doing creepy stuff?
Yeah. And secondly, I looked up what a Eurasian eagle owl is, and it's literally a plane? Like... What?
Is it an actual owl or is it a plane?
No, it's an actual owl, but it literally just looks like a great horned owl. And they're not that big.
They're not that big. They're not like over the hood of your car big.
No. Yeah, like people are holding on to them in pictures and they literally like just look maybe a little bit bigger than your typical great horned owl. And I'm sorry, but I am not ever going to get down with it was probably an owl.
Yeah.
Explanation. Like, no.
Like, nice try, I guess. Like, what a smear campaign against owls.
And there is never a situation, even if it's like a mama with babies, where there's enough of them to like have like a murmuration or anything to make it like a flock of geese. I can
confidently say there are three owls that live in the tree outside my window.
Yeah.
I see them all the time. I see them in daylight. I see them at night. I never see them sitting at my window staring inside with their big bulbous eyeballs.
Right. They're like the most cautious bird that exists.
Yeah. I'm like, it's just not happening. Okay. The picture that was with it, which is what I thought it was, is called It Rose Out of the Ocean.
Oh, God. I'm so nervous for this one.
I used to live next to a beach in an apartment complex. One night, I was with my friend looking out over the ocean from our balcony. The light from the moon was enough for us to watch the waves on the shore. We saw a light form on the ocean. It got brighter and slowly started to rise out of the water. What we saw was almost like an orb-shaped ball of light. It was so bright for a single moment that I almost couldn't see anything. It kept going up slowly until it suddenly took off very quickly into the dark sky. Everything happened in about 10 seconds. We were both freaked out and went inside the apartment. Years later, I saw a report on National Geographic about orb-shaped lights flying around the forest next to us, and I knew it was the same thing we saw.
Ew.
So just like rose out of the ocean. Gross.
I mean, could it have been a ship that they saw on the horizon?
I mean, maybe, sure.
But then that wouldn't explain why it was in the woods.
True. But they didn't see it in the woods.
Right, someone else saw it in the woods.
Okay, let me see. I'm like, a lot of these are very similar, like, same stories.
Do you have any of the time-traveling ones?
Well, and so...
Or is that more like on the theory side?
It's more like on the theory side. Reddit aliens. Let's just see.
Have you heard all of those stories? Like, I used to go into, like, a really big rabbit hole about this. But, like, the John Teeter, who would, like, show up on the internet every, like, few years. And, like, he was a time traveler that was, like, trying to stop something.
Oh.
And, like, he would just, like, show up on forums and stuff. And then talk about, like, hey, like, I can prove that this is going to happen. Because, like, one of his specific examples was, like, HP was going to come out with. I think like the monitors that don't have like the computer towers, you know, like it was like next state of the art, like type technology that didn't come out for like another 20 years. And he like knew about it or he could like accurately predict the outcomes of like future elections and stuff. But he'll like kind of just disappear for like a decade and then show up in the forums again and predict something else. And
I mean, like very Nostradamus.
Yeah.
You like those people have existed forever,
right? But this guy like specifically says like he works for the government. Yeah, I'm a time traveler. Pay attention because this thing's gonna happen. Yeah, it's crazy. There's like a whole website dedicated to like following him, I guess.
Gross. Yeah, these are more just theories. Let me see. Aliens, time travel. Do, do, do. What if aliens are just... The other theory is that people think aliens are time-traveling humans. Like, and I'm sorry, if if we're evolving to look like the large grays, like I don't want to.
Oh my God, seriously.
That's why I'm child free by choice. I do not want my future spawn to look fucking gross. I just don't.
That's probably like the best reason I've ever heard of, like, why someone chooses to be child free.
Have you seen?
You need a reason. You're allowed to make that decision if you want to.
Oh my gosh. So funny. Okay. I'm going to try to find one more good one to wrap this up. Let me see. What if alien evidence gets upgraded to time travel evidence? Aliens being on Earth means they are fourth dimensional time travelers. That's on the Reddit unpopular opinion thread. Ooh. Oh, it was deleted by the original poster.
Oh my God. What do they not want us to know?
That's how you know it's legit. It's when you can't even read it. Oh, scary. Okay. Now I'm on scariest ghost stories from Reddit. Do you want a random ghost story?
Yeah, sure. We can end it with a ghost story just to add some flair.
Okay. Let me find you a good one.
The flares that we don't use to guide our boats, though.
Yes. Because that's just dumb. Don't use your emergency flares for that.
Also, the swamp is, like, scary in the daytime. I can't imagine trying to navigate it at night without a light. Ugh, freaks me out.
Yeah, that would be disgusting. Okay, so we're going to read this ghost story called The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
I'm a psychiatric nurse, and early in my career, I worked at a residential mental health facility. One of our residents was an elective mute, which means that he couldn't talk, but there were no medical reasons as to why. He had spoken earlier in his life and in fact seemed quite normal back then, with the exception of being close to 7 feet tall.
No.
He'd been raised in the deep South and joined the military when he was 19, but one night he vanished. Okay, this is really creepy that it's on the alien Reddit one too, though.
Yeah.
He was declared AWOL, and eventually he was declared missing and dead. 10 years later, a 7-foot-tall man walked into a VA hospital emergency room in my part of the Midwest and said to the receptionist, "My name is Marion Duchenne, not the real name, and I've been dead for 10 years." Those were the last words he ever spoke. He was covered with dust, and he was wearing the same clothes he'd been reported to be wearing the night he vanished.
What?
His social security number had not been used, and he had no identification on his person. However, they were able to identify him via fingerprints. The family was notified but said they had already grieved their lost relative and that whoever was claiming to be him simply could not be, and they demanded not to be contacted again.
Okay, but you have no evidence of it.
You have no evidence that he's dead. Marion paced all day, every day, moving his mouth that looked like talking or muttering, but no sound came out. He had an unnerving habit of throwing his head back with his mouth wide open as if he were laughing heartily, but no sound was ever heard.
Oof.
If I talked to him, he appeared to listen, periodically throwing his head back in that laughter-mimicking way of his. Various medications were tried, but they did not affect him either positively or negatively. Occupational therapy did nothing because Marion would just grin, and unless told to stay still, he would get up and just start pacing again. On my last day at the job, the last thing I saw was Marion pacing in the parking lot, throwing his head back to laugh. Later, I wondered if all along he'd just been a ghost. All these years later, I still don't know.
Wow. That's honestly kind of a tragic story. Like, would things have been different if his family supported him?
I know, but I mean, and I have to imagine that would be a very, like, that would be a situation that would shake you a lot if you thought your relative had been dead.
Yeah, absolutely. Decade. But, like, to not even, like, the curious.
To not even meet him. To, like, yeah. Not. Yeah, I would come. Even you, because you don't even have to meet him in person. He could literally be in, like, a room at the hospital. They have window walls.
Right.
Where you could observe him and then decide if you wanted to try to interact or not.
Because, like, I guess I get, like, not wanting to have the disappointment of it not being that person. But, like, how would you not go the rest of your life wondering what if?
Yeah. At least send somebody. Send a friend instead of a family member. Send somebody to just, like, suss out if this is legit or not.
Oh, my gosh. What? Like, the fact that he was wearing the same clothes and stuff, like, What did you go through?
Well, and that's like the time travel, you know, it could have been like some sort of alien paranormal encounter too, where he was stuck in a different plane for a while. Like,
and the fact that he never spoke again after saying, I'm such and such, I've been dead for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, what an interesting thing to say.
Yeah.
It almost is like he was programmed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's your story.
Now go back.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Weird. Well.
Yeah. So those are your fun, creepy Reddit vibes. I mean, ghosts, or like the ghost story missing people Reddit is just full of really interesting stories too.
I mean, or like the going missing in national parks stuff. Like, I can't read very many of them because I go into an existential crisis.
Yeah. It's scary. Well, and it is one of those things that, like, I do, it sounds dumb, but it is like, it's the same way that with spirit communication. Like, I will have moments where I go outside and it's dark and it feels weird.
Right.
And I literally will be like, please don't take me today. Like,
establishing your boundaries is good.
I'm like, I cannot handle this. You do not want me. You don't. There's also some really interesting theories about a lot of people who have abduction stories all have a very, they have like the same two blood types.
That is interesting.
And there are a lot of abduction stories in the opposite sense of like, or a lot of like probe stories of people being healed.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of those also.
And so that's really interesting too, to be like, I like have had this like degenerative disease my whole entire life and
right.
had this experience and it's gone. Like,
yeah.
No explanation.
And it's usually through like telepathy of some kind that they're healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then so many of the drug encounter, because a lot of like alien abduction stories are happening in the car. Like, they're happening
right.
On highway. They're happening when you're driving somewhere. And then a lot of the ones that are happening when people are tripping are like very similar, like telepathic download.
Right.
Like, I saw this being a lot of these ones, the mantis beings tend to show up the most. And we drew that card in one of our cryptids episode, I think.
Yeah.
But the mantis beings are the ones that seem to show up more in the like in the psychedelic enhanced stories.
Which is interesting when they seem to be the one that like looks most like nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most like a bug. Like.
Right.
So yeah, that's.
Anyway, I guess what's our permission slip for this episode?
Amazing. Well, I think we can take. I don't like to subscribe necessarily to the idea that, especially something that we don't know that much about, is inherently good or inherently bad.
Right.
So we can take a lesson from the tall grays.
The militant.
In dedication. In what was the word? In discipline.
Discipline. Yeah.
In self-discipline. Yeah. So your permission slip is to interpret that how you need to. If discipline for you might be working less.
Yeah.
Like, if you are someone who is constantly going, who does not take active rest, who needs to take a step back and do more of that self-care, listen to the Herb Corner episode before this one.
Yes.
and then do that. If you are someone who is watching endless hours of alien abduction YouTube when you should be writing a book, maybe you should have the discipline to stop doing that.
Also, I think I've shared this word on the podcast before, but I just love it. It's one that my teacher, Marisha Marnowska, shared with us, and it's blissipline.
Oh, I like that.
Right? It's like a softer approach to it. But what I love about it is like, how can you keep yourself disciplined in the way that you need to so that you can experience bliss?
Yeah.
So for people who do work, are workaholics, like your discipline to work less allows you to experience more bliss. Or like procrastinators like yours truly, need to like have more organization so that you can have bliss of not feeling stressed and behind the ball all the time.
I love that. Well, and my my friend Bex too, who I took this word from, also we talked about the definition of discipline also being like the Latin root of discipline, which is like to study a craft, like like to learn, to educate yourself too. So discipline is not always like balls to the wall,
right, get
the work done and whatever it means. Some of it is just like, hey, if there's something that's really interesting you, there's something that's like itching the back of your brain and it won't get out, give it the space and learn and let yourself have that.
Do not use the Americanized form of discipline.
Yes, this is not a capitalist definition.
Right.
Of the word discipline. This is a very like intuitive, self-aware understanding of the word.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Iconic. Amazing. Thank you for being here, witches. And again, if you have abduction stories, please tell me. Please tell me them. I want to know.
All right. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. If you're having a witching good time, we hope you'll help us to grow this little coven. You all know it's us against AI in this algorithm world, so please help us out. Please like, rate, and subscribe anywhere you're listening to us. Also, we want to connect with our spooky Marg-loving friends out there, so please like and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links for those profiles will be in the show notes. And hey, be sure to tell us what you're drinking tonight. We love you all so much, witches. Cheers.